You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Daddy Issues. So typically, if you say that term, those two words, daddy issues, people think, well, that only applies to women that have daddy issues. But I'll give you some examples of both. I'm going to read you a list of some characteristics and see if any of these apply to you. Number one, trust issues. Difficulty trusting others, especially in romantic relationships. Suspicion or paranoia about a partner's fidelity or intentions. Number two, attachment styles, anxious attachment, clinginess, constant need for reassurance, fear of abandonment, or avoidant attachment, difficulty forming close relationships, emotional detachment, fear of intimacy. Number three, relationship patterns, seeking older partners as a father figure, entering into relationships that replicate the dynamics of the troubled father-child relationship, tendency to engage in unhealthy or dysfunctional relationships. Self-esteem issues, low self-esteem or self-worth, constant need for validation and approval from others, emotional challenges, struggles with emotional regulation such as frequent mood swings or intense emotional reactions, difficulty expressing emotions or vulnerability, behavioral patterns, seeking attention or approval in a way that can be self-destructive, engaging in promiscuous behavior or having a pattern of brief, intense relationships. Difficulty setting boundaries or maintaining personal boundaries. Fear of abandonment, overwhelming fear that people close to them will leave or betray them. Testing relationships to see if the other person will leave. Control issues, desire to control situations or people to prevent being hurt or abandoned. Difficulty letting go of control in relationships or other areas of life. Idealization and devaluation, tendency to idealize a partner initially, then devalue them once they perceive flaws or imperfections. Seeking validation, strong need for external validation to feel worthy or valued, feeling incomplete or unworthy without constant affirmation from others. And then finally, fear of intimacy, difficulty getting close to others, even if they crave connection, fear of being vulnerable or fully seen by a partner. Now, that's a huge list of a bunch of stuff. But if that applies to you, that can be very troubling. And if that applies to you trying to build a relationship with someone else or engage with someone else in life, and it's all these complexities and how you process and intimacy and abandonment and betrayal and all this starts going together and it's just constantly a reach in and then push back because all the fears that come with it, it can be overwhelming. Now, let me just say this before we get into this and say it hopefully again at the end. If that describes you, that does not define you. I had daddy issues, not in the same way, but as a son, my dad, almost feel bad for him. He's in heaven with Jesus, so he's not here to push back a little bit. But, you know, I'm sure in some ways my kids have it and their kids will have certain issues. No parent is perfect except that parent. Right? So the beauty of being born a second time is that on the second birth, you get a new father. The first birth comes about because you've got an earthly father that can reproduce and you're born. The new birth, the second birth, is a result of a heavenly father, a seed of faith planted inside a person. You respond and then you're born again and everything is new. You're in Christ. You're a new creation. Old things passed away, all things new, and you get a new father. So if you have a new father, you can have a new relationship with that father. Psalm 27:10, read this one with me. And this is not a very long verse, but I recommend remembering this, maybe memorizing this and underlining it. Keep this one. When my father and my mother forsake me, so if that were to happen, then the Lord will take care of me. You are not by yourself. If you're a Christian especially, you can never be by yourself. It's not that God is always with you. He is in you. And the reason people who are not Christians, when they get alone, feel so alone is that they are totally alone. Being a Christian is totally different than not being a Christian, in that the presence of the living God has taken up residence inside your physical body, so you can never be alone. And in the New Testament, I'm just going to refer to you this chapter, Luke 15, the third story, the prodigal son. I mean, you talk about a messed up family. I actually had a conversation with a guy that may be in the room today, and I said, if you had to pick between discipling the older brother or the prodigal son, which one would you pick? I picked the prodigal son all day long because the older brother stayed home, but he wasn't home, right? So he and his dad had this twisted relationship. When his little brother finally does come home, dad's excited. Big brother won't even go in the house. So these dynamics are real. And religious people, non-religious people alike, we all get things in our heads and get stuck on stuff and think, well, I'm not letting go of this. And your whole life is destroyed because of it in some cases. You got to move on. I'm going to read you some verses about someone who had no daddy issues. And let's start with Luke 22. New Testament, Luke 22, go down to verse 39. Who do you think the person with no daddy issues is? Jesus. Now, am I talking about Jesus and his stepdad, Joseph? No. Apparently, they did not have any issues. We don't see any issues there because that's the man that raised him, but his father is God the Father. Okay, so I'm going to read you some verses. And if you say, well, I don't like the way my life is going, how can I change my life? I'm about to read you some verses that can change your life if you will apply these verses. Luke 22, very tough situation. We're going to jump in here at the end of his earthly time in verse 39. Coming out, they've done the Lord's Supper, the Passover. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, so this is what he says. And he's been on the planet now 33 years and has had a relationship with the Father, with his Father. And he prayed saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. In other words, this cup that he was about to drink that represented sin, death, taking the sin of the world on himself. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If you can just figure out how to have that relationship with the Father, your whole life will change. And clearly, there's a tough situation here. He's going to have to face this, and he's having a conversation with his dad. And he's like, look, if there's a way you can take this away, take it away. But if not, not my will, your will be done. How much time do we waste pushing back on what God has said? This is what I've got for you. And we say, but I don't want that. He says, I didn't ask you what you wanted. I'm telling you, this is it. Well, I'm telling you to take it away or I'm done. And then he says, that's my will. And until you come around to my will, we're at a stalemate. So what do? We bolt. We say, well, I'm not doing that. And we won't yield. Now, the problem is if he's truly your father and you are a child of God, you're a Christian, and that relationship began at any point of your life, then he is going to finish the process of raising you. And he may have to raise your life in order to continue to raise you. In other words, he may allow things to get torn completely down where you finally look up and say, okay, I yield. And then you want to say, not my will, your will be done. Why don't you just say that up front? You say, but if I say it up front, it's going to mean pain and sacrifice. Look at the mess you've made this way. It's pain and sacrifice. I'm yet to meet someone who told God, no, not your will, my will be done, and went off and lived it as a Christian where it was not chaos. And then they get to the end of that and go, I was a fool. Why didn't I just listen? Because there's pain and suffering either way sometimes, but the book talks about it is better to suffer for doing the right thing than to do the wrong thing. Do the right thing. What is the right thing? Obey him. Not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthened him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he arose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And then it was game on, and they came and got him to be crucified. John chapter 5, flip a few pages to the right. John chapter 5, verse 19. Now look at how Jesus talks about his relationship with his father, with his dad. Verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." So what is Jesus concerned about? Not doing what he wants to do. He's doing what the Father's doing and replicates that here. And so that was the relationship. So what are you after? You say, okay, God, what is your will? What do you want done? What do you want to do? And now as Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us and through us. So you're yielding to the will of the Father and saying, okay, this is the day that you've made. I'll rejoice, be glad in it. You do what you want to do. And then you get out of the way. You say, but I don't want to do what he wants me to do all the time. And that's where the gap is, and that's where your life falls apart over and over and over again. How many times do we say no to God, yes to us, and go out and do whatever we want to do, and it goes well? It doesn't go well. And even in Jesus' case, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. We don't like to submit. We don't like authority. We don't like to yield. I told you today about my 52 and a 35. Anybody remember what that was about? Yeah, my ticket. So I've been buzzing through that little stretch on the way to the office. That was, you know, I thought me telling him I was on the way to men's Bible study at 6:15 in the morning, he was going to let me off. That didn't work. Don't use that. And that the reason I was late is I had stopped to make coffee for my wife on the way to the Bible study. Oh, officer. No, he wrote the ticket anyway. Do you know, there's a funny thing that happens to me when I drive through that little stretch of road now. Man, I don't speed through there. I was driving through there just recently, and there was a car whipping by me. I'm like, brother, it's not going to go well up on the top of that hill because I know who's up there. You know, I slowed down thinking, well, if he sees me slow down, he's going to slow down. No, he's going to keep going. And this guy's up here by some chicken place, and he gets like he's in the line for chicken or something, and boom, he gets you. Now, why am I probably not going to get a ticket there again? I finally yielded. Why did God allow me to get a ticket? Because I wouldn't slow down by myself. You say, well, I'm not going to slow down. Okay, you know. I can tell you how that's going to work out for you. You say, well, I'm above the law. And, you know, for some reason I can speed and nobody ever stops me. Because I'm better than all. That's part of what's going on when you're speeding. I'm better than all these people. So now you got pride, now you got speed, now you got, you don't have no authority, you got authority issues. And God loves us enough to, boom. And all of a sudden you get pulled over. You know, for everybody's sake, if you get pulled over and you've been speeding for years, keep your mouth shut and don't start blaming everybody in the world and get upset. Say, thank you, sir, I've had this coming for a long time. God bless you. I've actually thought before that maybe I should just pull up next to a cop car and say, dude, I got one coming. Just write me one for like 50 and a 35. You just haven't caught me yet. Now, you laugh because it was my ticket, not yours. But what's the base issue? What issue did Jesus not have with his dad? He obeyed. But you say, but Jesus was God and man, God. That would have been easy. He had to make the same choice every day. And apparently, because he was the sinless sacrifice, he never said no. Stop saying no to the Father. You say, but I want to do what I want to do. It's never going to work in your burning daylight. You've only got so much sand left falling through that little tube. And then you're going to run out of sand. And then at the end, you're going to be scrambling going, wow, I was such a fool. Why didn't I learn to listen? Why didn't I learn to heed what I heard? Why didn't I learn to yield and just obey, just do what he tells me to do? The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Just do what you're told. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Now, don't read over stuff like that. Let me read that to you again. What did that just say? "The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Jesus is saying the Father dwells in him. Now, you can't be a Christian without having God live in you. He's not with me, he's in me. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." If you can't see it there, just look and see what I've done. There's no way I could do these things unless God is working in me and through me. Now go to John 15, verse 9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Now think about how much the Father loved Jesus. And then Jesus says, "Well, just like the Father loves me, that's how much I love you. Abide, live there, stay connected to that kind of love. Abide in my love." So you say, "Well, I got issues." If you connect rightly with the Father, you will not have daddy issues. No matter who you were raised by, what the challenges are, what the fears are, you say, "Father, you know my heart, you know my life. I read an article getting prepared for this, and some lady wrote about daddy issues, and in the article even said she didn't want to write about it because it turns out she and her dad did everything together when she was a kid. She'd ride the lawnmower with him, mowing, they were together fishing, everything. And then one day, all of a sudden, she finds out her parents are getting divorced and he was having an affair with someone from work and just destroyed her life. He got mean, distant, pulled away. You say, "Well, what did she do?" She did everything she could to maintain some kind of relationship with her dad. You say, "Well, that's what happened to me. So what do you do?" You say, "Well, my human father did all these things that affected me, but turns out I got a new dad. I got a new dad who loves me, who will never leave me or forsake me, will not abandon me, ain't gonna cheat on me. He ain't gonna do anything. He's perfect. And if something goes wrong, it's not him. He didn't do it. I did it." So I can take a deep breath and say, "Father, help me process what's happened. You have forgiven me so much, so give me the ability to forgive myself and others. Let it go. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but move forward and build my relationship with you, because that's the one that's never going to change." And you say, "Well, but what if I was the mom? What if I was the dad? What if I'm the cheater?" Well, I don't have time to read you all the verses about you. There are a lot of verses that talk about people doing that, but there's also a lot of verses about being forgiven from anything. And people say, "Well, what if I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? There's no remedy for that." Well, first of all, if you had, you wouldn't care. So you probably haven't. So you're forgivable. A lady said the other day to me, she said, "You know, I've just got so many regrets, things that I've done in my life, and I can't shake them." I said, "Well, you just keep taking them to him. Sooner or later, you're going to let him keep them. Then you don't have to carry it around anymore." The devil still come at you, but the only reason he can accuse you and at work is you react to it. So now listen to me very carefully, because this applies to whatever you got going. If you have confessed your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you've done what God says to do, then he's done what he said he'd do. It's clean. It's done. You say, "Yeah, but the devil comes to me and he accuses me. He keeps accusing me, saying, 'Yeah, but you did it. You did it. You did it.'" Let me give you a new trick with the devil. "Well, how are you doing, Satan? Looks like you're at your old tricks again. Well, let me tell you what I have to say to you. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And my hands are clean. And I have been washed from my sins. And so I welcome your accusations, because every time you accuse me, you cause me to worship him. And if you'd like to stay around for that, you're welcome to. Just take up the first row there, because I'm going to be worshiping and praising and thanking God that what you say about me is not true, that what God says about me is true, and that my daddy loves me and I am forgiven." Amen. So good luck with your accusations. See, you don't have to live in fear. The devil can accuse you, but he can't condemn you. He has no authority to do that. Only you can condemn yourself. God's not going to condemn you. He justifies. My 52 and the 35, I'll get something in the mail that's all resolved. And where I'll probably put that, you know where I'll probably put that? In my visor. You know I'm going to put it in my visor? Because if I get pulled over for any reason, let's just say taillight out, and the officer says, Mr. Ellis, looks like we have a warrant for your arrest. You have an unpaid ticket. I go, oh, that is so interesting. Could it be anything in reference to this paid ticket right here? Oh, my goodness. Yes, it is. It looked like we have a clerical error, and you're free to go. Thank you. Why? I have authorization. It's dismissed. It's taken care of. Stop playing the devil's games. He just put you in his little hamster wheel. I got him now. He's got daddy issues. He doesn't know who his dad is. He doesn't know what to say to me. He can't make me go away. I'm going to just stay here and keep accusing him. And so he does. I promise you, the devil isn't staying around for your praise and your worship. Just this room right here where we gather, if you go out in the lobby, out on the curb, you can't imagine how many demons are sitting out there waiting until you get out because they weren't allowed to come in here. This is a safe house. Not because God lives here, it's because we're in here. Go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. This is how simple this all is. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. In other words, it's not a physical birth, flesh and blood, physical life, but this is God's doing. Had a lady come see me, three boys, the oldest girlfriend was there, and I met with these boys, some tough stuff going on in their family. The oldest son sitting there with me, with his little brother right next to him. And I asked him, I said, okay, look, we've talked about some intense stuff. You dropped dead in that chair where you're going. Didn't know. So he prays and becomes a Christian. Then I went immediately to his little brother and I said, have you ever done that? And kid's probably 11. I said, have you ever done that? He said, no. I said, you want to do that? He said, yes. So boom, his big brother prays. Boom, he prays. You say, dude, it can't be that easy. What did I just read you? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but God. Don't complicate this more than it needs to be complicated. This is a terrible example because when I proposed to my wife, I got down on one knee and I said, will you marry me? And about 30 minutes later, she said yes. But let me tell you something about Jesus. When he proposes eternal life, when that daddy issues eternal life, forgiveness of sins, you either respond and take it or you walk away and say no. And you say, well, there's got to be more. Okay, tell me what it is. What are you going to climb steps on your knees? You're going to count beads? What are you going to do that's in here? It's not in here. The nature of a gift is he offers it. You say, thank you, take it or not. You the believer, you don't. You the receiver, you don't.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
You either have him or you don't. And if you have Jesus, you've accepted his payment on your behalf, God becomes your father, new relationship, new everything, old things passed away, all things new. And then you got all these verses in the Bible where Jesus refers to his father as Abba, Father. And if you look up the Greek on that, it's from Aramaic. It's a term of endearment, intimacy, close personal relationship akin to daddy. So even Jesus was talking to his father and using the word daddy. You say, well, that was Jesus and the father. And now I got Jesus in me talking to the same Father. And so now I can say, Daddy. And all of a sudden, all my problems, all my issues that I had with my daddy go out the window. Because yes, he's my earthly father, but he's my forever father. And nobody can take him away. And nobody can take me away.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.